are now plugged into Action Features.
How good does it sound?
Oh, man, it sounds fantastic. You ready to start?
I'm recording right now.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds great. Oh, hey, everybody. You know what this is. It's Action Features.
It's your favorite
it's
podcast.
It's the podcast you guys all listen to and love.
It's your favorite podcast.
Can't get enough of.
You know what? I was thinking about how Action Features is addicting today.
It is addicting.
To some people. Not
to very few people.
Not to me.
Yeah, not to me either.
But to some other people, they seem to be addicted to it.
Well, you know, it was, you know, amongst my friends that listen to the show now.
Yeah.
Where Charles has been listening, I think, since like the beginning.
Yes, I believe he has been.
But a couple of my
wait,
other
hold
friends,
on a second. Didn't he, did he delay for a little bit?
He did delay for a little bit, and then he did a run. That's right. Because we kept talking about it. But it does seem like a couple of my friends that then find out about it, they do like a quick run. They like...
Do all of them.
They do as fast as they can. They just keep getting them. Like, Chris Landon did that. Rich is doing that now. Charles did that when it first...
That's what made me think that it's addictive.
Yeah. It is addictive.
We're lacing these episodes with PCP.
Yeah. Yep.
Sprinkle a little angel dust through the airwaves.
Only the first one's free.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. They're actually all free.
Well...
Right now.
So they think. Yeah.
Okay, so today... We are going to do like a little catch-up type stuff. Maybe just talk about a couple things.
Yep.
But the main gist of the show today is kind of in honor of Lou Scheimer passing. Lou Scheimer, the producer and one of the main guys behind Filmation Animation Studios, passed away earlier this week. And it was a big loss, you know, for animation as an industry and for us.
This loss.
Yep. it's Alexander Knox.
Bad tie.
Anyway, so yeah, it's a pretty big loss, and I mean he had a lot to do with our childhood. Maybe kind of, I wouldn't even say inadvertently, because he was a big part of what made those shows what they are that we watched growing up, and a lot of people watched growing up. And so today we just wanted to kind of talk about some of our favorite Filmation cartoons, kind of in honor of Lou, and maybe just talk a little bit about Lou and what he'd done for the industry and for people and all those things. But first, we'll do a little ketchup type stuff.
Not the condiment, because
not the condiment.
I don't really care for ketchup.
I don't either.
I eat it on French fries.
I don't even eat it on French fries
about
that much.
It. That's it.
I have mayonnaise on my fries.
Some people put ketchup on their burger. That's the common thing now, but ketchup was not originally meant for
like
a burger.
Ketchup.
It was not. It was mustard.
Yeah.
On a hot dog, too. Same thing.
Sometimes I put ketchup on a hot dog. I gotta admit that.
You do?
Sometimes I do a ketchup mustard mix on a hot dog. With relish.
You relish the taste.
I relish it. I do. But for the most
part,
I don't like ketchup.
I don't either.
I don't like tomatoes.
I know you don't.
You know who loves ketchup?
Tell me.
Joe Younger.
Joe loves ketchup.
He put it on everything, man.
He would do it.
He just loved ketchup.
Some people do.
I was grossed out by it sometimes.
It grosses me out.
He would eat so much ketchup. It was just... I was just... Man, that's gross. That's too much ketchup.
Have you ever heard of
Joe Younger? Yes.
A bag of pretzels being opened on air.
Let's hear it. Oh,
that's it.
Sounds
fresh. It's a fresh bag.
Just want to get a couple of those.
Just get a couple. Couple of those. Yeah. Okay. We're also eating today.
I'll just keep quiet about it.
Little Debbie's fall party cakes.
Thanks to my mom's.
Thanks to your mom. These are essentially the Christmas tree cakes and the Valentine cakes.
And the Easter cake.
And the Easter cake.
Yep.
And the fancy cake, except they have fall-colored sprinkles on top.
Mm-hmm.
They are, what is this, hexagonal shape?
Hexagonal.
There's a hexagonal shape here. And so you're not getting screwed out of any.
Yeah, it's not like the bat brownie.
That's right.
Yep. So what you got to talk about?
I thought we were doing the film.
Other than that, I mean, do you have anything you want to like do like a current catch up type thing?
Not the condiment.
We already did this.
Oh.
No reason to do it all over again.
Captain America trailer.
I was hoping you would say it, because I was going to say it, so I was hoping you'd take it so that way
you didn't
have something.
So you didn't look like a fool. So
you'd have something. Man, it was great.
It looks pretty good.
I think it looks really, really good.
It looks real solid.
Yeah.
I like to think they're not going to screw this up.
Me too. It is a totally different vibe than all the other Marvel studio films so far, I think.
Yeah,
they kept saying it was going to be like a political thriller, and it really does kind of seem like a Jason Bourne type of movie, just from that trailer. I love the scene with him in the elevator. I thought that was great.
That was cool.
Him being like a BA
yeah.
is awesome.
A bad mamma jamma.
I mean, I think a lot of people unfairly look at Cap as sort of the old-fashioned goody-two-shoes Boy Scout type of thing. And, I mean, there's a part of that that he is, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But he's also, I mean, he's fought in the war. He's a tough dude.
Yeah.
And he's not going to just, like, be messed around with.
Those World War II guys were...
They're tough.
Tough, man. They were of a different... Cut from a different cloth
exactly.
than the men of today. No disrespect to anybody, but...
Another cool thing about the trailer is I saw there was a shot, at least one shot, that has to be like a flashback shot because he's wearing the World War II outfit in the trailer at one point. And I like that new outfit he's got on. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to like it, but I think it looks cool, and especially when you're playing him as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. to not wear sort of the flashy, spangly outfit makes more sense.
Well, he's in present day now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even not wearing the Avengers one.
Right, that's true.
The Avengers outfit was still kind of
that's true.
A symbol type of thing. And this one, now he's more wanting to be the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and not be, I guess, as seen, yeah. you know, as blatant or whatever. But I really thought the outfit was cool looking. And, of course, Winter Soldier looks
cool.
So cool. It's great that they just pretty much translated the comic.
That's what it looks like. I was surprised by that.
I was really happy to see that.
That's the type of character that normally gets the shaft when it comes to...
Exactly. He gets changed around.
Yeah. So, that looks good.
Yeah.
Escape Plan came out last weekend.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I thought for sure you would have seen it by now.
Well, I should have, but
yeah.
I didn't get to it.
But it's failed everyone. Is this your water?
It's been dominated by... Thank you. It's been dominated by gravity. Everything's getting dominated by gravity.
Ugh.
I'm not interested. I gotta say. All it takes is that one shot... Where that little CG spaceman is flailing. I guess it's Sandra Bullock.
I want to say it the way we always say it, but we can't do it because it's a kid's show.
Don't say it. Looks so fake.
I think it looks horrendous.
It turns me off to the whole thing.
It looks like Shrek.
Yep.
Looks like a Shrek in space. Yep. That's what they should have called it. Shrek in space. Instead of Gravities.
Yeah, they should have called it that.
Shrek in space. I would have seen it if it was Shrek in space.
You might have.
Hey, you kids want to go see Shrek in Space? I've seen it.
They would have got your ticket.
Yep. I'm not interested. Bobby wants to go see it because of all the talk about it and the hype.
Yeah. You're probably going to have to, though.
Who knows?
So anyway, I think Escape Plan still looks good, looks solid. You know, people are talking about, what do they have to offer now? Well, they don't have anything to offer. They have anything new to offer.
Nothing.
Except they're doing a movie together, finally. And also, I mean, that's for the old school fans. That's for people who are
fans.
So that came out. I gotta say, I'm grossly unprepared for any other.
There was something else I was gonna mention.
I see you have a Batman figure over there.
From
the Dark Knight. I looked at it earlier when you weren't in here.
Look at this, man. Hey, you look at my stuff?
It's cool stuff. I remember that figure. I had it.
So check this out.
I loved it.
I have one, two.
You have three.
Three Batmans.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have the Keaton face. You know there's three different heads on this, right?
I knew there were two.
There's three. There's okay. like a strong, like squared jaw, sort of a rounded jaw with like a fuller lips, and then the Keaton head, which doesn't really look like Keaton.
Not at all.
But they call it the Keaton head.
I see.
How much would you think I paid for these?
I would hope you paid at least $30 because they're worth
it. No, sir.
That.
No, sir.
Oh.
Three for ten.
Three for ten?
Off eBay. $3 for $10. Three carded Toy Biz Batmans.
I would buy those for $10.
Who's going to turn that down?
Not you.
I didn't.
Not me.
I didn't.
Oh.
I'm not going to turn it
down. Those are cool.
Yeah. That's for you, buddy.
No.
That's for you.
That's for somebody else.
No, that one's for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You gave me the yellow bubble. That's okay.
It's okay.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. You can't complain.
I'm not complaining.
Well, are you going to keep it carded? I'll give you a clear bubble.
No. I'll keep it carded.
Let me give you a clear
bubble. No. I was kidding. I was just kidding about it.
Let's trade it out.
I'll always look at it and say...
Let's trade it out.
I remember when James gave me this, the most yellow of all bubbles that he had. It'll be fun.
I thought you were going to open it.
It'll be fun for me.
Give me that one.
No, it's okay.
Give me that one.
I can open it?
I'll open that one.
Are you going to open... Were you going to open one?
I was going to open one, yeah.
This can be the one you open because
I'm going to open it.
Because it's yellow.
What did that remind me of? It reminded me of something. Oh, it reminds me of Step Brothers at the end where he gets the Chewbacca mask.
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, it's okay that mine's not film accurate. Because there's one bad one and there's one good one.
Yeah, like, where did they buy those? They went to a store that had two different quality.
It's okay that mine's not film accurate.
Two different quality Chewbacca masks.
It's okay that mine has the yellow bubble.
They bought one of each. You know, they spent different amounts of money on it. One was like
it balances out.
$100 mask.
It balances out. The one was 100, one was 20. It's like we spent 60 each. That was my Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right, so maybe lose my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. Look at this thing.
Kind of Batman now, buddy.
I love this one.
Yep.
It's not very
good. It's grown on me. No, it's,
but you know what? At least they tried with the sculpt and everything.
Exactly.
They tried to get the suit accurate.
I still want the superpowers one that they showed in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I want the black superpowers one. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted and I still want. But the more I look at that figure, the more I'm like, you know what? They said, you know, we're not going to do the black superpowers one. We're going to sculpt one. We're Toy Biz, and it's 1989, and we're not going to do a great job.
We're not going to do a great job.
But we're going to sculpt it so it looks like the movie. Look at that.
They tried it.
They did it.
You know, they gave you a couple accessories, Batcave, Batmobile, a TV news reporter. What do you think? The Batcave is great. I remember seeing these on the shelves, and I was just like, whoa, they have toys for this movie. Because
and
they had toys for a lot of movies. But I just couldn't believe that this new Batman figure was out.
We've talked about it before, but in that movie magazine, they showed the Superpowers one, which is the first exposure to those figures.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went and looked and looked and looked. I couldn't find it, man. It was just all Bob the Goons and Jokers, everywhere I went. And in Value City, I finally found it. And I'm like, sweet, I got the Batman. I got him.
You got him.
Because I'd already had the Joker, and I looked at the back of the package, and I saw the Superpowers Batman on the back of the package still. And I got it. I was like, what is this? This isn't the Black Superpowers Batman.
It's not what you thought you were going to get.
I still bought it because it's movie Batman.
I could see a Keaton resemblance.
It's
not good.
Not like Kenner.
But no, it's...
Yeah.
It had that belt. There's a lot of gold. Their packaging was gold.
I liked it.
Mostly gold, and it was like... It was different. It was real different.
This must be expensive.
Oh, this is worth...
This is made of gold.
It's worth its weight in gold.
This is made of gold.
Because of the gold bag.
Oh, there's gold everywhere.
You know what's interesting is this illustration on here has no detail whatsoever for the gloves or the boots.
Yeah. Well, me and Blaze were talking about that illustration the other day. Look how huge his arm is.
It's huge.
it's I love this show. Yeah. I gotta say I love the Action Features podcast because we talk about so many visual things. Unless a person is at home right now in front of their Toy Biz Batman carded, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Look it up.
Go ahead and look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up.
1989 Toy Biz Batman.
You'll find it. Look at that Batcave picture. Look how off-center that is.
I was just noticing
they ran
that.
With that. It's so off-center.
They didn't care.
Toy Biz. You know what? Good enough.
we're gonna lose this license in a few months anyway.
Toy Biz. It's good enough.
Good enough for who it's for.
Well...
Toy Biz. Kenner's about to top us.
You ran this right off the rails, man. I don't even know what I was going to say
now.
Talking about movies. Oh, Thor the Dark World.
Oh.
I'm not that excited.
No, I can tell you I'm not. That's for sure.
The trailers haven't grabbed me. They really aren't showing Malekith as like the main villain. It's just a whole lot of... We talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just Loki Thor. And I think Tom Hiddleston's great as Loki. I think he did a great job in Thor and a great job in Avengers.
He's the best Loki in any live action movie.
You got it, man.
I've seen.
But, okay, I've had enough of Loki now. I like Loki... But now he's going to be like Thor's friend that's going to help him against Malekith or something like that.
He needs to be kept more low-key.
Hey. I could have just done without it because we've just come off of... Iron Man 3 was the last movie, but who cares? It was a turd. So going back to Avengers, so it was just like two movies ago that we just had Loki as like the main villain of something.
Mm-hmm.
If they were going to do Loki and Thor 2, they should have done a different Marvel movie first. And done like Iron Man 3 and then something else and then the Thor movie so we could get back to Loki. But now it feels like it's too soon that we got Loki again.
How many times?
I know he's a main Thor character, but come on.
Yeah.
That's all the trailers are. Loki, Loki, Loki. I didn't even see Malekith in one trailer, it seems like.
Loki, Loki, I got Hokey.
Yeah. Like, Loki, Loki, I got Hokey.
From Hook.
Yeah. Enough of that talk. That's all right. We're here today to do.
Bah!
All right, so Lou Scheimer and Filmation, right?
Okay.
Now, they've been around since the 60s doing these animation things. And Lou is a great, was a great guy. He placed a strong importance on creating morals and values in the cartoons that he did.
Did he give to charities?
I'm sure he gave to tons. Mm. And another important thing was that he kept animation in America all the way up through the 80s.
That's awesome.
When it was way more profitable to send it overseas, it was important to him to keep it in America. And, you know, people, a lot of people go back and they look, oh, that animation's so bad and it's so cheesy and it's so cheap. You know what? It's done in America. And they did whatever they could do to be able to afford to keep doing it in America.
Yeah.
And that to me is amazing. That when it was more, it was a better business idea to take it somewhere else. He didn't take it somewhere else.
When you start getting into the 80s, I don't think it looked bad. It's different from Thundercats or whatever, which looks great, but...
Well, it was their stock system that a lot of people complain about, where they've reused the same like He-Man running sequence or something like that again and again.
Yeah.
But I don't care about that.
Hanna-Barbera did that all the time in the 60s.
Okay, so you use the same running sequence again and again. But what sells the animation for is their backgrounds.
Yeah.
Their backgrounds are, bar none, the best backgrounds around. And they would spend a lot of time showing those backgrounds, like panning through them, especially like in He-Man, Masters Universe, She-Ra, that kind of stuff, where they would have these beautiful painted backgrounds that would just go on for forever. And it would just spend like, sometimes it would spend 15, 20 seconds on a pan across the background, taking you to a point. And it was just like, man, look at that detail and that the beauty of that background. It's amazing. And they used rotoscoping, which I thought added like life to some of the characters that other cartoons maybe didn't have because it was basing it off of real life. And I don't want to spend too much time on Filmation animation versus other animation, but I think it's just it's awesome to think about Lou and what he did just for, I mean, we're Americans. This is sort of an American podcast, you know. And I'm more than happy to have overseas listeners and things like that. That's great. But
I love overseas animation.
Me too.
But like if you live in Japan, aren't you proud that
comes from your... That's what I'm leaning towards here.
Comes from your country? I mean...
I'm proud of things that come out of my country, and the fact that during the 80s that he wanted to keep it here during such, you know, economic...
That employs Americans.
Like
we have artists, you know, come from our American schools that live here. They need to do something.
Something to do. It's just... When you hear about Lou and stories about Lou and the people that work for Lou, it sounded like he was just an all-around nice guy. And that he really cared about his people, and he really cared about kids, and that they were getting something that had value to it. It wasn't like, I love G.I. Joe, I love Transformers, I love things like that, but a lot of times with G.I. Joe and Transformers, the show would be a vehicle to sell toys.
Yeah.
You know? And then at the end, they'd throw on the, and now you know, annoyings have to battle type thing, a little lesson at the end. Whereas a lot of the stories, especially with He-Man and Master Universe and She-Ra, they were built around a value, like teaching a value. The whole show was about teaching that. And yeah, you'd have appearances by the new figure that was coming out or a vehicle or something like that, but it wasn't at the expense of the program or that it felt like it was a commercial the whole time. It really felt like this show was teaching you something. And you're also seeing the toys and stuff that you're going to play with and buy or whatever. So it's just, and that, I think a lot of that was Lou and him caring about what he was delivering to kids. And there's another, I don't want to go too far in these stories before we talk about the actual cartoons, but there's a guy that works on the Masters Cast podcast, Josh DeLionCourt, and he got sick when he was a little kid, and he went blind as a kid. He was going blind. And one of the things he remembers as an adult, like his visual reference comes from that cartoon, and he would listen to the cartoon, and it would keep him going, that He-Man cartoon. Well, his mom had written a letter to Filmation, and Lou got the letter about this kid that was sick.
Wow.
And he brought in the cast to put together this tape as the characters for this kid.
Wow.
Like pulling for this kid.
Wow.
And saying, keep your chin up, you know, and stay healthy and all those different things. And it's just amazing that he took the time to get this together and do this for this kid. And Lionheart still got the tape, and he's putting on the thing online
awesome.
And all this different stuff. And during one of the documentaries that they made for the He-Man cartoons, Josh was one of the people they interviewed about collections. And Lou came to Josh's, like, I guess it was Josh's house, wherever they were filming or whatever. And it's just, like, the look on his face, because he comes out, and Lou is the voice of Orko and a bunch of other voices on these cartoons. He kind of did the Orko voice as he surprised Josh. And you could just tell that, like, Josh was just like, oh, my goodness, oh my goodness, he was like on cloud nine. Yeah. You know, that Lou had just come to see him and talk to him and you know, about the story and stuff. And Lou's there and he's talking to him. He's like, you know what? I'm going to give you my jacket. And he just like took off this Filmation jacket that Lou's probably had since 1984 or whatever and just gave it to him. And it was just like, I want to give this to you.
Literally gave him the
just
jacket.
Just gave it
back
to him. Just took it off and just gave it to him. And if you haven't watched some of those documentaries and things with Lou on there, you should really just get those documentaries and watch them. Because, I mean, it just shows you what kind of a guy Lou was. And it's a real loss that he's gone. It's really a sad thing. So, to move past the sadness, let's talk about what some of our favorite Filmation cartoons were. Now, again, like we just said, it started way back in the 60s. And I don't know a lot of those. I've seen some of them, you know, in rerun or on DVD or in YouTube or whatever. But I can't say that my connections to those as much as the ones that came out in the 80s. I will mention a couple from the 70s.
Me too. I've got a few.
Okay. Well, you want to start off? You know the one I'm going to want to mention.
I know the one you're going to mention.
So skip it.
I'm putting Fat Albert.
I have that highlighted too.
I enjoy Fat Albert.
I love Fat Albert.
They're playing reruns on Bounce TV now, and I'd never seen that because they weren't. I don't remember them. I don't remember seeing reruns of that when I was a kid.
I watched it as a kid.
I don't remember. Somehow I missed it, but I love The Cosby Show. I watched The Cosby Show a lot when I was a kid. But Fat Albert is fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny show. And once again, a good moral there. A
lot of values.
Yeah, so that's one. I'm not going to say the next one because
that one's for me. I'll go ahead and say it.
That one's for you.
Star Trek the Animated Series, which sometimes it's not considered canon to the Star Trek universe, but a lot of things have built off of what's going on in the Star Trek Animated Series. And it features the original cast as those voices. It's written by a lot of the people that, you know, wrote for the old show and high-class science fiction writers. It's, to me, canon to the Star Trek universe. And it's a really, you know, kind of more of an adult cartoon.
It seems very serious. It seems like it's a good follow-up to the show.
Exactly.
When you couldn't, they were done producing the show.
Yeah, and it wasn't going to happen anymore.
This is what you can get.
And it kind of fed a need for Star Trek. Star Trek had been off the air for years, and we were still years away from the first motion picture. So it kind of was in a time where really Star Trek was kept alive by syndication and fan clubs and things like that. And it was new Star Trek for those people that only had, you know, we all had those same episodes again and again. I wasn't even around back then, but the Star Trek fans then just had all those same episodes. But this was like some new Star Trek stories with the original cast, playing off some of the things, returning some old characters to the show, and introducing new concepts and things they couldn't do in live action that they could do in animation. I think it's a really, really good, solid show.
I like it a lot. I like it too.
And I'm really glad they did it.
You've got to be inscrutable, Captain.
You've got to be inscrutable, Captain.
Captain, are you being inscrutable?
Captain, are you being inscrutable right now?
Circle, yes or no.
What's the T stand for?
What is the T for, Captain?
Dr. McCoy took my oven mitts. I can't get my muffins out of the oven. All right, so Star Trek, Aces in my book. That's one of my favorite Filmation cartoons.
Yeah. I'm wondering if this New Adventures of Gilligan, is that...
That's one reason space, if I remember right.
Oh, it's not Gilligan. Is it Gilligan from Gilligan's Island?
It's Gilligan's Island in space. If I'm not mistaken, that's what that was.
That's crazy. Okay. There's some cool stuff on here probably that I just didn't see. New Adventures of Flash Gordon, I thought is a really fun cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, it's Flash Gordon. That's the way that it was living. I think Alex Raymond was probably doing some, or Al Williamson was doing Flash stuff in the 70s.
Yeah.
But the cartoon comes across, almost like Johnny Quest did, as a comic strip that moves. They did a good job with it. Good background paintings.
I like the designs and the look of it. And those toys.
The toys were fun.
A lot of fun.
And they used some rotoscoping in there during running and stuff, and it looks great. Like, there's some really good cells on that.
That some of that show was originally spliced into like an actual film, like the Greatest Adventure of All.
Oh yeah.
And but it, like, I think it only aired like one time.
That's on here somewhere. Oh,
films.
1982.
Yeah, I think it was the only time it aired was then was the Greatest Adventure of All, and I could be misremembering that. I'm not an expert on a lot of these Filmation shows, the pre the 80s. So if we're saying things that are wrong or stupid, well. Sorry.
We say stupid things all the time.
We do it all the time.
But if we're wrong, feel free to correct us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you can write it on there.
Yeah, go ahead and correct us. We won't petition. Is that it for 70s for you?
That's it for the 70s.
Again, there's a lot of shows in here that I've watched, and like New Adventures of Batman and Jason of Star Command and all these other shows that are in here. But again, we could spend months going through all these shows and talking about everything about these shows, but we're just really going to touch on what our favorites were. So if we don't mention one of your favorites and we're not talking about it, I can't believe they didn't talk about the Archie show from the 60s or something like that. It just means that we don't have a personal, true connection to it, you know?
Yeah. I don't talk about things. Like, things, these are basically what I think of when I think of filmmaking.
Yeah, me too.
I just wanted to note, this is not Tarzan, Lone Ranger, Adventure Hour. I think it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He's got two classic characters. Black Star.
Black Star is awesome.
Yeah.
Black Star is great. Great toys. Great show.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
What is Hero High?
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
That's weird. All right.
Here's where it's going to get real. Gilligan's Planet. That's when they're in space.
That's the one in space. Yeah.
Here's where it gets real.
It's about to get real. With He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
That, when I think Filmation, that's what I think.
Little cartoon called He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I bet you have.
That is obviously the big one from Filmation.
That's the big show.
It's the one everybody thinks of when they think Filmation.
It was their hit. It was their big hit.
It's a show that I think kind of stands the test of time. My kids watched it and loved it growing up. They still watch it and love it. It's just, like we said before, it teaches good morals and good values, but also has a lot of fun episodes. Introduces a lot of extra characters to this kind of the He-Man mythos or whatever, and expands on some others. And I think that it really is one of the things that has made He-Man last and stand the test of time. Because before this, we had like the mini comics and the toys and things like that. But I think of it, when most people think of He-Man, they think of this cartoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really the thing that kind of gets ingrained in most of the public's conscious when they think He-Man. And then it relates back to the toys and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think that He-Man is really what made, or the cartoon is really what made He-Man last.
Yeah.
So many episodes and so many adventures and so much, you know, it brought life to those characters and made it sort of more accessible to a younger audience than maybe some of the early mini comics and the DC comics and things like that did. That kind of sort of had more barbarian feel to it, all that stuff did. And this really kind of brought in more of a sci-fi fantasy type thing into it than more of the barbarian feel of that earlier mm-hmm. stuff. And it, like I said, it just kind of gave a voice to the characters, you know, and you got characters like Orko and you found them more about the royal family, and you had Skeletor who had more of a fun villain than a evil creature that he was in those. And as an adult, I kind of appreciate the early mini comics and the 1987 movie more than the original cartoon, but the cartoon is fantastic, and it's a huge part of my childhood. I remember just racing home to watch He-Man. And it was all about He-Man for me when I was a real little kid. I loved it. I loved that cartoon.
Yeah. I had a He-Man pillowcase.
I did too.
Yeah. That's probably the same one.
It's probably the same one.
I guarantee.
He's like holding the thing there.
Yeah.
Standing. That's the big one. He-Man the Master Universe. And Lou had so much, he was a lot of voices on that show. I mean, he was Orko. And Orko was like the character as a kid that you just loved, man. He was the one that you kind of identified with in
he
the show.
Magic.
Yeah, he had magic, but he was also, he felt like he was a kid, and he messed up a lot, and he got into jams and into trouble, but he had He-Man, he knew He-Man's secret, and he kind of was like, you were with Orko, like that was who you identified with, at least I did, sort of as a kid, was, out of all the characters on the show, as a kid, you identify with Orko, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, almost like the droids in Star Wars, where you're watching the adventure through them. I kind of felt like a lot of times you were watching the adventures through Orko's eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Great show. Just great. And that leads into She-Ra.
She-Ra, Princess of Power. That was for girls. But...
You know how many POP fans are, like, throwing bricks at their iPods right now?
Well, probably. They shouldn't have done that because they broke their iPods And now I'm about to clarify, but it's as good. Guys can watch it too and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And relate to the girls. If you had like a sister or something,
mm-hmm.
you were like, oh, you're not going to play Barbie. You can play Princess of Power.
Yeah.
P.O.P.
Well, for me, I kind of, I don't even know.
Remember that?
I don't know if it was even made for girls, really. I think it was just made, it made a female character, female characters that girls can identify with. Because all the girls were watching He-Man, and all they could identify with was Teela. And they made She-Ra to make it have more characters she could identify with.
Right.
But if you think about, like, the Horde, they were all Masters of the Universe villain toys.
Yeah.
They weren't part of the Princess of Power line.
Yeah.
And they appeared on the She-Ra show. That's what they were on. They weren't on a He-Man show.
Right.
So it kind of felt like, yeah, there were a lot more female characters for girls to identify with, but it kind of felt like they were making it for everybody. And not, they weren't just targeting that show for girls. It was just, they made more girl characters so that girls would have more to identify with on the show.
Yeah, it was kind of a split. It was an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And mostly it was marketed towards girls because the figures had...
The figures, I agree.
Real hair and brushes. Remember that time when I walked in on you and Matt, we're opening a new Princess of Power figures?
What are you talking about?
It looked...
I commented on it. Like, when you walked in, I was like,
I didn't...
Because we had the plastic brushes on our hands, and we were holding these like figures.
Brushing their hair.
Yeah, we're like, it's not what you think it is.
A couple of girls. I didn't say anything. I let it go.
Yeah. Well, I agree that the toys were more... They were shelved in the boys' toy aisle.
Yeah.
Right next to He-Man.
That's odd.
Right next to He-Man.
I recall that. Well, is that it? Yeah, that makes sense.
But the show itself, I don't think was. I feel like the show is the same kind of vein as He-Man. He-Man appears on multiple...
Oh, it's definitely the same vein.
I actually kind of feel like the She-Ra show is darker than the He-Man show in a lot of ways. Because the She-Ra group is the rebels, and they're kind of... Whereas He-Man is sort of on the winning side all the time in the Master Universe show, and the antagonist of Skeletor is coming in to kind of fight the ruling faction, which is the good guys. It's the flip on the She-Ra show, where it's Hordak is in control, and he's ruling, and She-Ra and her group are always kind of on the run and kind of fighting and, you know, having to fighting back the Horde, and it's a flip-flop. So it's like they went darker and kind of a little more serious, and... maybe some of the shows are a little more elevated too. Like a lot of the storylines on the She-Ra show are a little bit more in depth, and there's a lot of more character type of stuff going on in the She-Ra show than maybe the He-Man show had. And I'm not dogging He-Man at all. I think He-Man was a fantastic show, but I think you can look at the She-Ra show and some of those episodes have a stronger storyline a lot of times than a lot of the shows. That the ratio of strong storylines to kind of more kind of, oh, that's kind of a cheesier episode isn't as great as it was on He-Man, I don't think. So great show.
I had the Bow figure.
Two great shows. I know you had the Bow figure.
I bought that one.
We've talked about it multiple times.
I did.
Yeah.
It was the only guy from the line.
It was the only guy from the line.
I bought him and he had that heart pumping action. I was just kind of like,
what did I do?
I sat in the back seat. I remember it like it was yesterday. Sitting in the back seat of my mom's car.
You pretend like it was Bluff.
I was pumping that heart, that little heart shape, and I just...
here's the thing.
I just kept doing it, and the bow didn't... The string
it didn't
was...
Go, it was plastic. It was molded to the thing.
There was a plastic...
string molded to the bow.
Sheet, like, in between the string and the bow.
You couldn't even use
it. You couldn't do anything.
You couldn't hold it well.
It was just kind of like...
The figure was poor. And Bo was cool on the show. I understand why you wanted it, because Bo was cool on the show.
Right. He had the mustache in the show.
He had the mustache in the show.
Not in the figure.
Not in the figure. It looked totally different in the figure.
It was weird.
It was very strange. Bo in the cartoon, way better than Bo the figure.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, so after that, we've got the original Ghostbusters.
Let's go, Ghostbusters! Let's go! Yep.
Yeah. Confused the crap out of me as a kid.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was super confused when I was a kid. I remember walking into KB Toys and I saw those figures and I was like,
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember these guys.
Mm-mm.
And I did see the cartoon also.
My wife is calling. Hang on 1 second, okay?
Oh.
Oh, let me pull my headphone back.
Hmm.
Hello?
Oh,
no, but I'm podcasting. What's up?
If I had a dime,
that's okay. You're on the air right now.
If I had a nickel for every time.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hope that didn't pick up those bad words you just said.
This is a
all right. Love you, bye.
Kid show. Oh, how's Bobby?
Oh, she's doing well.
Oh, well.
She's doing well. Hmm. Oh, man, she wants potato soup. I want potato soup, too.
Mm.
I'm going to send her a text back. Okay, so...
About potato soup?
Sorry.
About potato soup? That's okay.
But yeah, it confused me. Because the movie had been on.
The movie...
You know?
Let's see, it was 1986 to 88. So the when the original Ghostbuster cartoon...
The original film came out in 84. I think the cartoon, a real Ghostbusters cartoon, started in 86.
Okay.
Because they called it the real Ghostbusters because of this cartoon.
Because of that one, right?
Yeah.
If I was Dan Aykroyd, I would have said, oh, they already have a Ghostbusters. I wouldn't have used it.
He wanted to use Ghostbusters.
I know he wanted to, and he made the right choice.
Yeah, it's the right move.
But
at first they're going to call it Ghost Breakers or something like that.
Yeah,
or
that's not
like
good.
That.
That's not good.
And the whole gist of it is that there was a live action. Bobby said a naughty word on the phone.
Yeah,
not a real bad naughty word.
Well, I hope not.
The SH word. And she sent me a text saying, beep me out with a chicken sound and a question mark. So, okay. We have to. If it does show up, we're going to have to put a chicken sound in. Okay. So,
you can't sound a question mark.
No, you can't.
Bing! That's bing. What it sounds like.
Chicken sound. Chicken no. sound. Chicken sound. So they call that one the real Ghostbusters because of this one, right. And they had the show because there was a live-action show.
Which Filmation did also.
They also did, and so they had the rights to the name Ghostbusters. They knew the Ghostbusters movie was coming, or that it had happened.
Right,
And so... It just made sense for them to go, you know what, we have the rights to Ghostbusters.
Why not capitalize on that?
This movie was huge. Let's make a Ghostbusters cartoon.
Let's do it.
And I don't know if that's how the scenario worked out, but
it
seems
to
like
imagine that's
it
how
worked
it worked out
that way.
Yeah.
But
I don't blame them for doing
it. I don't either.
And you know what? It's kind of cool. I think the live action show is kind of cool if you watch it.
Yeah, it's I like the cartoon.
Because you got, it's way more ridiculous than Ghostbusters the movie that mm-hmm. we all know. They have the gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Who's crazy. With him and he's helping him, and he's dressed in a safari outfit, and the bad guy's kind of like, what is he, a mummy? He's like a
sort of a robotic.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy
he's
with
a,
the red.
Like a robotic skeleton
yeah.
guy.
Well, the cartoon was neat because again those Filmation backgrounds and designs and things yeah. like that. It reminded me of more like a is it Don Bluth? I guess maybe that does. You know, like Space Ace. And those things like that, the sort of the designs of the characters look like that to me. It was a neat like look to the show.
Yeah.
And the ghost buggy was cool. Their car was cool. I liked their weapons, you know, that they had.
Yeah, it was different. It was real stylized.
Yeah.
Like, had its own thing. It was on its own thing.
And it was kind of like, it was just like, there was so much kind of paranormal stuff that was like, even just like, in just where they were just walking around or in their headquarters or whatever.
No.
There was just a lot of that all the time. And I love Real Ghostbusters. Real Ghostbusters is one of the best cartoons ever made.
Yeah.
But this had a different flavor, and it really just kind of felt like, even though they were called the same thing, it almost felt like a totally different take on it, totally different concept, totally different everything.
Yeah.
And you could take them both and have them both be called Ghostbusters and like them both. Without saying, oh, well, I only like this one, I don't like that one.
That's silly.
That's silly
to
That's
do
silly
that.
Talk.
You don't want
to
do that.
I wish I had some of those toys.
I do, too. You know, I never got any.
I didn't either.
Partly because of the confusion. I was just like, well, I have Ghostbusters at home, and
yeah.
I know what those guys are from.
I don't know these guys.
I don't know these ones.
I wish I had that ghost buggy.
Wish I had the ghost buggy?
Ghost buggy is so cool.
I wish I'd had some of those toys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neat concept.
It really is.
And they're on DVD. They put the episodes on DVD. On DVD.
I have the first volume.
Yeah. You don't need the second one.
I just got the first one.
You don't need to complete that.
I don't need to complete it. Really.
No, you're just going to watch a couple episodes
just watch a couple.
Once in a while.
Yeah, I'll just get the flavor back and that's it.
Just,
you know, that's
move
a good
on.
Moving on to Brave Star.
This is one of my favorites.
Brave Star. Yeah, and Strength of a Bear.
Speed of a Puma.
I don't know all the words.
Those are two of the words.
I love Brave Star.
I love Brave Star. You know what? I was watching Brave
30-30.
Star today talking about this.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about it, I watched Brave Star today. And I had a couple weeks ago, too. And I didn't know that we're going to talk about this. I like Brave Star.
Yeah.
I loved it as a kid. It's such a cool concept.
It's a great concept.
You get a Western.
In space.
In space.
And he's got superpowers.
That's right.
They're not overly superpowers.
No.
It's Eyes of a Hawk. Speed of a Puma, Strength of a Bear.
They got a lot of stuff in there because that's sort of what Visionaries kind of touched on that. Visionaries did, but in Bravestar, he's, you know, he was a Native American, or they don't say that because he's in space, but you know, he had like an Indian shaman that blessed him, and he had this like that spiritual side, and he was it was just so cool. Six Shooters, Tex Hex was a cool bad guy. He was there was some realism in it. We're talking about morality in the cartoons, and I saw an episode a couple weeks ago where a kid gets hooked on like a drug. I forget what he called it. It was like crack, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was called crack.
It's probably called crack cocaine.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. No, it was like Zap or something like that, but you could tell what they were doing, and in the episode, the kid winds up dying. Like, it doesn't turn all well for him. He dies because of his addiction to this, and because he wouldn't let it go, and the people who were selling it to him had to be dealt with, and it was a very realist. I was surprised that they did it, because, you know, all cartoons back then were mostly feel-good, and we got to end this up, wrap it up well, and... But the kid died, and his friend is the one who learns the lesson from it. And there's a hard lesson to learn. You don't see that stuff very often.
You don't.
I just thought that was, I thought it was really neat. I thought it was really cool.
Well, I just think you lose out on a lot of the stuff. I mean, and nowadays, I'm just thinking of like just the visuals of that Bravestar cartoon.
Yeah.
Like there was one image that was like, I think on the sticker album, and I think it was a lot of the books or something like that. And it's just him, and he's kind of leaning up against the wall, and he's got his hat kind of down, and the sunrise is going on in the background. And it's like filled with like purples and blues and stuff like that. And it's just such a cool image. Like I'm looking at that, I'm like, that is cool.
Great background.
That's one
once
image,
again.
And that is so cool. And there's nothing like that.
Yeah,
now.
There's nothing. They were able to take all the what you would call cliches from westerns. You know, like the Clint Eastwood personifications, and you know, like certain lines that have become cliche, but put them into that fresh, give them that fresh view of being in outer space, and still keeping the western vibe. You had. You know, stagecoaches, except they floated and everything. And you see stuff like that all the time now with, like, in video games, I think. You know, there's a lot of mixing of history and technology and future
and steampunk
like
and all that stuff.
Right, right, and all that stuff. And that's fine and good, but before Bravestar...
I don't remember it.
I don't remember anything. I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
For, as far as I...
30-30 is so cool.
So
I wanted that 30-30 toy so bad as a kid.
I did too. I never
that gun he's got.
Never got it.
He's a mechanical horse that can stand up on his back feet
and shoot.
And shoot a giant shotgun.
Yeah, he's got a big shotgun.
That is so cool.
So cool.
That is so cool.
And
man.
He was real. Trigger happy. Like he was always wanting to throw down, and Bravestar was having to back him down.
He had
down
to calm him down all the time. But, and Tex Hex is the villain.
What a great idea.
Creepy
what a
looking
great
man.
Idea. Tex Hex was creepy. He was a mix between, you know, Skeletor and some other things, but he, great, great Western, like, translation of the Western heroes, and he had those knives on his chest. Mm-hmm. I had Bravestar and Tex Hex. Those are the only figures I had.
I only had Bravestar.
Wait, I want to say I had Handlebar,
the bartender looking guy, yeah.
I believe I had him, and I had the Fort Carrion playset.
What a cool playset. I don't want to go too far on that toy line.
So awesome.
This is really what you're talking about. But that is a cool toy line. And that packaging, I mean, that packaging design and that look owes a lot to the Filmation cartoon, I think. Because it really kind of mirrors the coloring and the look and all that stuff.
Yep.
Man.
They're doing a lot of stuff with that line, too, because you had the button that would draw the gun.
And the infrared thing.
And shoot the infrared thing with
that
the backpack.
That was kind of carried over from He-Man. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. But I think this cartoon was originally supposed to be like kind of a spin-off, sort of connected to He-Man type of thing. That it was supposed to come somehow be in the same universe or something like that. And I could be wrong, but I thought I for sure remembered hearing that. Again, I'm not an expert on Bravestar. I'm just talking about what I really liked as a kid.
Yeah.
But it was...
I very much enjoyed...
Bobby just sent another text. Well, she wants this episode to be called The One Where Bobby Cusses.
It didn't pick up.
I don't think it picked up either.
We can call it that.
I think we might. Well, we have to now, though. I'm
You'll be in trouble. You'll be in the doghouse if you don't. I loved Bravestar, and I think it holds up really well.
I do, too.
I think it's well animated. It's very interesting. It's very different.
I think more than the other shows, and again, He-Man is the top of my list for Filmation cartoons, but more than the other shows, I think I could watch Brave Star more as an adult than I can the other shows.
Yep.
He-Man and all those things, I can choose certain episodes. She-Ra, I can choose certain episodes. And I can watch them all with my kids. But if I were just to sit down and maybe, you know, just sit down and eat some popcorn and watch like an old cartoon or something like that, I would probably pick Brave Star out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because it would, the kind of the concept would grab you more as an adult than the other ones do.
Yeah, I think it holds up well.
All right, so that's all the actual series. Then they did a they did some theatrical films.
Brave Star, the movie, was one of them. They did a full-length film.
Which is then broken into the episodes.
Right.
The Secret of the Sword is the one that, out of all springs to mind.
I don't remember that.
Secret of the Sword? That's the one with the team in She-Ra, Secret of the Sword.
Oh, okay.
And that was actually in theaters, and that was introducing the She-Ra character as a full-length animated picture. I didn't see it as in the theater as a kid, but of course they broke it into parts and showed it on air, and it was really well done. I mean, it's just like the show, but bigger and longer, you know? I remember years ago, they were doing these Saturday morning matinee things around town, and one of the early ones was, they were doing it for kids, you know, kids' movies, was they showed Secret of the Sword. So we took Blaze, this was before Keaton was born, I believe it was before Keaton was born. We took Blaze to see it on the Saturday morning on the big screen. So I saw Secret of the Sword on the big screen, which was awesome. And I would turn and I'd watch him watching it. And it didn't, you know, he'd watch cartoons on the DVD and things like that. And he'd seen it on TV. But seeing it on the big screen, it was like it just had his attention. And, you know, it's amazing that animation holds up so well for so long on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, especially those backgrounds. Seeing those backgrounds on a big screen, it was amazing. It looked so good. It was really, really cool. And I guess that is about it for me, I think.
Yeah, that's all.
Those are the ones that touched me the most.
The He-Man and Christmas special. I'm trying to see if there's anything. The Brady Kids on Mysterious Island.
Oh, you loved that, didn't you?
Oh, I used to love that.
Man, there are some crazy things in this. Filmation was doing some crazy stuff. I mean, just the Gilligan in Space thing was crazy enough.
Yeah, that's crazy. It looks like they're taking a lot of like public domain stuff, probably, mm-hmm. and adapting that. The Aesop's Fables and Journey to the Center of the Earth. Hardy Boys is kind of cool that they did that.
Well, I mean, there's so many things on here that I've checked out as an adult, but I don't feel like... Okay, well, I'll go in depth about all this, because it really is more of a thing that that touched me as a kid.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about Lou Scheimer is morals for kids and values for kids and things like that. So a lot of this is really...
Their heyday, I think, was the time we were growing up in the 80s.
Oh, no doubt. They were going crazy back then. All right, so I guess that's it, right?
That's it.
What is this, 49?
This is 49.
Next episode is the 50th extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
The extravaganza.
I've got a new episode for the extravaganza.
All right, so we're
going to... High Action Features fans, this is Sosafias here for your Halloween special
episode. Extravaganza.
Doesn't even make sense what we're doing, but I like it. I like it.
So we're going to do something next episode.
Yep.
Who knows what it's going to be? I'm not going to talk about it.
Well...
Why ruin it?
I know what it's going to be, but it's going to take some work on my part, I think. If I can do that.
Put some frosting on my mic stand.
Oh, good.
It's okay. I got to...
Sweeten the deal.
They're falling apart.
Well... All right, people.
Oh, rest in peace, Lou Scheimer.
Rest in peace.
Thanks for everything you did for us as kids.
R.I.P.
You know?
Thanks for contributing to society instead of...
Taking away from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, heartfelt. Those memories mean a lot to me. Sitting around watching those cartoons.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see a part of that gone.
Yep.
You know. So goodbye, Lou.
Okay.
All right. So long, people.
Farewell.
Have a great night. It's nighttime.
Fare thee well.
Have a great morning if it's morning. Who cares? Have a great something.